The following program is brought to you in living color.
You see this earth? It has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Amazing creature. She deceives everybody.
You swine!
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you wanted to know about grapes and wine, but were afraid to ask. We are here. We are your media web source. We encourage you, reach out to us, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email us, lauralawson@winecrush.com, so you too can have all of your wine world questions answered. Well, we're off and rolling to a great show today. This is my annual show. Something always fires me up and gets me motivated to do this show. This is the show where I tell all of you who are listening to the show right now, you know more about wine than you think you do. This is also the show where I send out that lovely message to the rest of you who think you don't listen to the show but are humoring somebody by listening to it and tell you that you don't know as much as you think you do. So we're going to have a little bit of fun, and I got two great guests today to help me do that. Tim Hanai, he is a master of wine. He is going to help us talk about consumer wine judging and the fact that recently they've come across with this great idea of letting, God forbid, the people who buy the wine and drink the wine judge the wine. Novel concept. We also have Alder Yarrow. He is the founder and editor of Vinography.com. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the fact that wine is snobby, that people don't know as much as they think they do, and the people who tell you they know a lot about wine probably don't. So we're going to have two extreme guests today in the sense that they're going to help edify all of us on how much we really know about wine. That is always a difficult subject, and my favorite people are the ones that come up to me, oh, I like your show, I listen to your show, I learn so much. And then I have the other group of you that come up to me and say, oh, well, I really enjoy your show, it's very entertaining. Hey, why don't you do this, this, and this, and tell you what, I'll come in and host. Okay, so we have to find a happy medium between everybody, and today I'm certainly going to try. And for those of you that don't wind up happy, once again, phone number 877-4-CRUSH-1. Call Kent. He'll be happy to take your complaints.
Thank you.
He is very good at that. And he's looking kind of bored back in the booth. So,
did not get my nap today.
Okay? It doesn't look like you did. He's just not on top of things today. So feel free. Call in Needle Kent. Life is good. Well, before I get off on my usual rant, I do have to give you some wine recommendations for the week. And we do have some interesting ones. You know me. I can't resist the idea. I am the Chardonnay sipping diva. It is the time of year to investigate that lovely, wonderful wine that is the lifeblood, that is the crush. So this week's white recommendation, coming out of Washington State. I moved up the West Coast a little bit. Chateau St. Michel does a reserve Chardonnay called Ethos, E-T-H-O-S. And this is the best of their Cold Creek Vineyard. And very intense, very flavorful. It's interesting because it's Washington State trying to do Burgundy. And I shouldn't have used the word trying. They really do Burgundy well, but they do it with their own grapefruit forward style that sometimes you miss. This is aged Sir Lee. It's malolactic fermentation. So it's got a lot going on before you even get to the flavors. But what's really neat is you get the lemon, you get herb. I get sage off it. Some other people argue with the different flavors on it. But ultimately, it's got great depth to it. But it has enough acidity to cut through the oak and cut through the mallow so that it's really refreshing. It's not overly cloying. So go look for that. Chateau St. Michel Ethos 2007 Chardonnay. Ethos is going to be in big letters. St. Michel is going to be in smaller letters. So don't go to your local Mega Mart and think, oh, St. Michel, I'll have that one. Definitely put some effort into this. And red wine this week. I've got to at least acknowledge the fact that it is baseball season. God knows it's on to my household pretty much every time I walk in the door. So, Triple Play Red by Wattle Creek. W-A-T-T-L-E Creek. This is 2006, and it's Triple Play because it's a Rhone blend. Remember our guy that asked the question about Rhone wines, California Rhone wines, being in the Rhone section? Well, it's because they're Rhone varietals, as is this one. This is a blend of Syrah, a little Grenache, a little Carignan, the typical red you'd find over in the Rhone. You've got blackberry, you got blueberry, you've got all the great deep berries that we like to have. Plus, it's got that smokiness that Syrah and Grenache can give when you have it with the right oak and the right balance. It's got a little bit of oak to it, but not so much that it overwhelms it. I get a little bit of licorice off it. Very, very wonderful. It even has this little nutty flavor at the end. So it's a great compliment for those of you that are firing up the old Barbies and getting out there and grilling. This is the wine for you. I particularly like it with the Notorious P.I.G. And suit yourself. Let me know what you think. But those are your two wine recommendations for the week. Your white wine, St. Michel Ethos Chardonnay. And your red is Wattle Creek Triple Play Red.
When you say that a wine has a certain smokiness to it, what is that about?
Sometimes it can do with the char from the barrels, to make a very, very long story very, very short. Wine barrels can be put on what looks like a hot air burner and turn, so they get a level of char on them, so it gives it different flavors. But also, sometimes just with Syrah grape, you can get, Tim Hannah can probably go into this, kind of omaji. It's kind of a savory, salty grape flavor that a lot of times translates into smoke.
Okay.
That, and I tend to drink it around people smoking cigars. So, you know, it does influence a little bit. So, there's our wine recommendations. And definitely getting Kent to put his 2 cents worth in. But before we get to our guest today, I want to look over some things since I said this was our annual show. During the show today, I'm going to give you 10 reasons that you definitely know more about wine than you think you do. So those will be good guideposts for you to follow. But ultimately, it does come down to the have and to the have-nots when you're looking at wine, when you're looking at wine knowledge. And it just concerns me all the way around that people insist on cowing down to people who just talk about wine a lot. Obviously, people today are going to talk to you about how there's a difference, how some people are self-proclaimed experts in wine and some that are learning. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, there are certain experts. There's always going to be experts in any given field. There's no two ways around that. But I want you to think about this from this perspective when you start judging people around you, their wine knowledge versus yours. Also, when you look at people and try and gauge their knowledge, take these into consideration. Does the person you're talking to, do they work in a wine shop? Do they work retail? I'm not talking they stock the shelves and work in the back. Do they actually work in a shop and put bottles in your hands? Do they write wine lists? Are they in charge of the wine program at your local restaurants? I'm not saying the waiters. I'm not saying the managers. I am saying, is this person you think has great wine knowledge, are they writing the list? Do they work for a wine wholesaler? Do they work for a vineyard? Do they work for a winery? And when I say do they work for a winery, do they actually go get dirty? At some point, is there dirt under their fingernails? Is there blood running down their elbows? Is there some way that they're actually in touch with the process of making the wine? And hats off, if you're a master sommelier or master of wine and you're talking to them, yes, they know about wine. But do you know why these people are the ones you should consider knowledgeable? It's because they're in the wine business. They get paid to know about wine. They get paid to know the different nuances. They understand the different varietals. This is something that they spend their life. Think about when you're on your way driving to work, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a fireman, policeman, you're an expert in those fields. If any of these people, the retailers, the people who write the list, the wholesalers, the vineyards, the winery, the sommeliers, the masters of wine, those are the ones who get paid to do it. They're not hobbyists. This is how they make their living. If they're giving you advice, listen. They actually make their lifeblood doing this. The rest of them, anyone else giving you advice, they're hobbyists. They did something else to make their money so that they could dabble in wine. And because they're hobbyists, have they really been fully instructed in wine? No. They've taught themselves. They've read the magazines. They've read what Robert Parker and the Wine Spectator had to say. And now they're self-proclaimed experts. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through our guest today, as we go through our emails. And keep that once again. We're going to go through 10 reasons why you know more about wine than you think you do. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, Tim Hannay, Master of Wine.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem.
Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And right now, we have the pleasure of having a master of wine on the show, and I truly mean master of wine. This falls in the category of someone who knows about wine for a living. Well, he has just sponsored an event called the Consumer Wine Awards, and ultimately, we've come up to the conclusion that professionals' opinions don't necessarily translate into what the public drinks. Shocking. So at this point, Tim, welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm looking forward to talking to you about this one.
Hey, Laura, how are you?
I am outstanding. How have you been?
Just absolutely terrific. Having a blast.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. I have to admit, you know, I keep my eye out for different things that are happening in the wine world. And you have finally gone and done something that's needed to be done in this market for ages. Tell our listeners about the Consumer Wine Awards.
Well, one of the things that I'm always looking for is how can we improve the communication of wine people with the market. And there's all these different systems out there, and it's important to know that I respect and support, like, every system that's used, whether it's 100 points, whether it's 20 points, puff, stars, words, whatever.
Smiley faces, hearts, whatever.
Yeah, you name it. If it works, good on you. Now, what I do know is that a huge, huge segment of the consuming public just don't get what the heck we wine wonks and geeks and wusses are doing. And so what I've been working on is one, a really, really deep, deep understanding of how we each establish our personal preferences. And I look at both the sensory anatomy and also the neurology of senses, and it's this really, really cool and wild area of research and discovery. And then what we've been trying to do is now how do we establish a peer-to-peer or consumer-to-consumer way of tasting and sharing our likes and dislikes. So that's what the Consumer Wine Awards has been all about. It's actually the third year of the tasting and research we've been doing, but it's the first year that we turned it over entirely to consumers to be the evaluators.
So essentially, we finally have the People's Choice Awards for wines.
Well, yes and no. It's a little bit more intricate than that. If you just go to a People's Choice, the analogy I make, let me kind of start here, that imagine you're going to buy shoes, and the shoe industry doesn't know people have different size feet.
I like it.
That'd be kind of ridiculous. And not only that, not knowing that they have different size feet, since they're shoe experts and masters of shoes, when somebody tries something on, they go, ow, that hurts. And somebody says, oh, well, your foot's not mature yet. When you get more educated, these will fit you because these are good shoes. Well, what we found out is that some people have a humongous number of taste buds, over 10,000, and other people have less than 500. And so this makes a huge difference on what we perceive and at what intensity. And so just a Consumer's Choice Award is just a vote of a sort of group of people. So imagine it that we're done with shoes, you would just come up with the most popular shoe size.
Well, actually, I like your analogy, because for being in the wine industry as long as I have, I'm fully cognizant of the fact that a lot of wine industry people keep their feet in their mouth, so they certainly should be able to tie it together.
Yeah, that's right. You might, and the size of your mouth and size of your foot are very important to know when you're going there.
It does help. Sometimes they're mutually exclusive. You never really know.
That's right. Well, but here's the cool thing. In the wine community, there's all these massive arguments about who's got the best system, which is it this way or is it that way? What is good Cabernet? Simultaneously, in the same week in January, two really smart, very well-versed professional wine critics came out in the same week, one declaring California wine, Cabernet Sauvignons have never been worse. And the other was extolling that they've never been better.
But see, that's part of the passion and some of the arguments that are inspired about wine. It goes back, today we're kind of talking about, I'm trying to teach the listeners that they know more about wine than they think they do. Tim, I respect you. You're a master of wine. I have obviously less taste buds than you do. I have passed all my writtens for all my exams. I can't pass the actual tasting portions of it. Does it change what I know about wine? No. Really? Does it change what I like? No, it's just different perspectives on different wines.
And there's more misconceptions about all of this because nobody knows. Honestly, you probably have way more taste buds, and the more taste buds you have, the more difficult the tasting part is, actually.
Well, I've always thought my person of a very refined taste. That certainly does help.
Well, you know, this is it's kind of like, oh, that person has really refined feet because they fit into the shoes.
Exactly.
They're just different, but we can't help but pass judgments. And in the case, because we're kind of ignorant about this collectively, that we really don't know what the truth is. And the truth is, if you have less taste buds, in many ways, it's easier to do blind tastings. It's you were less picky as an eater. You're probably male, and you're something we call a tolerant taster. And you actually demand high levels of sensory input. So you love these big, intense, high-alcohol wines, and that's what you're prone to enjoy, just given your physiology. So what I've been doing is we've been researching this and impacts, and we're working with behavioralists and all sorts of really cool people. So first of all, we've got to get out of the way all our wrong conclusions and wrong conventional wisdoms, and then see, you know, now how can we kind of custom fit and personalize the experience for everybody? And even better, and this is where the Consumer Wine Awards come, where can I send you to go to look for wines that other people like who share your sensitivity and your values? That's what I'm doing.
Well, I think, number one, of course, coming to you, you're going to make it difficult on yourself by trying to categorize everything. But ultimately, when you look at what you're doing, you're acknowledging the fact that everyday consumers, they're not in the top 1% of the wine population that does the wine business for a living. So they're drinking, they're hobbyists, they want to enjoy what they buy at the store, and you're finally focusing efforts on them. Hey, listen, you may not be Robert Parker and like this, 15% Cabernet, but hey, this is a Cabernet that focuses on some of your compatriots like, and I think it's a great benchmark for anybody to have.
Well, and this is the neat thing. With a few simple questions, we can pretty much tell you what your taste sensitivity is, and then a couple questions about wine preferences, and we can say, oh, Robert Parker's the perfect person for you, or Steve Hymoff, or somebody who loves those kind of wines.
Now,
here is Dan Berger or Jancis Robinson. Now, they are much more sensitive tasters in general. And so if you're a much more sensitive taster, I think you'll find their recommendations much more suitable for your needs. And so this is the really cool thing about it. Nobody's wrong. It's personal opinions, and we've just got a better way to kind of filter through the crap.
Thank you. You've kind of hit the nail on the head. Tim, we're closing in on the end of this segment. Number one, is there a website people can go look at and define whether they're a taster or not? Do you personally? Is it Tim Henai? Is it?
Well, there's if you want to get the deeper lowdown, I just launched timhenai.com. And you can also see videos of our band my wife and I play in. We're playing for Bell and Barney Rhodes' commemorative party at the CIA.
All right. Well, we'll encourage everyone to check that out. Tim, once again, thank you for being part of The Crush, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Listening to The Wine Crush, I'm Laura Lawson. Special thank you to Tim Hanai coming on the show. Now keep in mind, Tim is a master of wine. That means he has spent a lot of his lifetime studying. He falls in that category of being an expert. He's an expert in wine, but what is he doing? He's telling everyday drinkers why they're right about what they're drinking, not about why they're wrong. So that's a great way to point out a true expert and to understand one. If the expert is trying to teach you about wine, it's trying to have you teach them what you're thinking about wine, then yes, they're worth listening. If someone who's a self-proclaimed expert is telling you what you should be drinking or how you should be drinking, chances are you don't need to be listening to them. Just an aside. So on that note, we're going to continue with our top 10 telltale signs that you know more about wine than you think you do. Number 1, you know that white Zinfandel, or anything pink in the bottle, is based on red grapes. Number 2, you know that Kendall Jackson is the winery name, not a type of wine. Number 3, you can pronounce Merlot and not have it come out sounding like a knight from King Arthur's court. So there are my 3 little points of reference. We will give you some more great advice as it moves through. But of course, this show is supposed to be about you, and I really want this week for y'all to call in and give me an idea of what you're thinking about wine, what you're encountering out in the market. Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me directly at Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com. Of course, blogs will be up on the website, and you can check us out on Facebook at Wine Crush Radio. But I really want to know what you see the temperature of the market. Are there too many people telling you what to do? Are there not enough people telling you what to do? Let me help you. Tell me what direction we need to go. Well, of course, because I do suggest that this is about you, it does mean occasionally I have to take your emails. And right now, I have an email from Bert in Massachusetts. Bert writes, I recently went into my local name change to keep Kent from being sued here,
okay,
and wanted to buy a bottle of J. Lohr. They had the wine. I put it in my basket and headed for checkout. On my way, I was stopped two different times by associates trying to sell me something else. Is J. Lore bad wine, and why are they doing this? Well, this falls in the category of bait and switch and self-proclaimed wine experts. This particular store that I can't mention is someone that is very notorious for this. J. Lore is great wine. I love the wines they do all the way across the board. I've never had a bad wine J. Lore produces, and I think it's a great value for the money. So hats off on your choice there. But the store you're shopping in, what it does is it has rights, and it makes its own wine. So if you like Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, then here, try this one. It's a dollar cheaper, and you'll like it just as well. It is the kind of ultimate idea of going with the house label, generic label. They try and match a style of a winery and say, here, if you like this, you'll love this. Now, of course, if you're trying to buy the name brand, they want to sell you their name brand. Well, one, they make more money off it. Two, they're hoping that you'll really like the name brand and come back and buy more. And what's bad is we're going to start seeing a lot more of this. It's going to go hand in hand with the grape glut. But what's interesting is its mimicry. They always say that imitation is the highest point of flattery, and ultimately that's what they're doing. When you see these private label names next to the names that you know, be it Kendall Jackson, J. Lure, someone along those lines, they're trying to bait and switch you and get you to buy their own wine. So, Bert, that's why you were stopped twice. You had that prominent bottle of J. Lure, and they figured they could turn you on to something different that would put more money in their pockets. So keep that in mind when you're shopping in some of these big, big, big national wine stores, that a lot of times if you see a name on a shelf you don't recognize, there's a good chance it's a house brand and it's designed to taste just like something else. But I promise you this, the only thing that can taste like itself is the wine itself. Imitation doesn't work. So keep that in mind when you're purchasing and continue to support your big name brand.
It actually surprises me that these big, big, big name chains will do things like this. Make their own wine?
It's economy of scale. They pay custom crush facilities with the wine glut that's out there right now,
right,
to make wines. Here, I want this to taste like this. And they've got a whole bunch of UC Davis PhD candidates running around that make it taste like that. Now, does it really taste like that in the long run? No, but no one knows the difference. So that's one of those little insider wine knowledges that can help you. So speaking of wine knowledge, I do have to continue to give you my advice. When you are looking and to think that you know more about wine than you think you do, number four, you know that Fumé Blanc wine is not the name of a grape. Think about that. Some of you are thinking about it. I can see you rolling your eyes thinking, Google it if you have to, F-U-M-E. Number five, my favorite, you drink whatever color wine you want to, regardless of the color of the meat. Doesn't matter what's on the table. Whatever's in your glass is what you like and what you're drinking. Number six, you know it is acceptable and recommended to chill your reds at all times. Right now, the studio is sitting at a balmy 78 degrees. This is not my idea of room temperature. So keep that in mind. Red wine should be served at room temperature. 78, 75 doesn't quite cut it. So see, you're already feeling edified. Some of you are sitting up straighter as you're driving down the road and knowing that you know more about wines. Well, of course, for those of you that aren't driving, they have sent me emails. And here is one email that I have just received. And this is from Mary in North Carolina. Mary writes, my husband and I go out with two other couples to dinner on a regular basis. Always, my friend's husbands pick up the wine list and order for the table without consulting anyone. They are often very expensive bottles that we don't necessarily like and don't feel we should have to pay for. Any advice on how to handle this? Well, Mary, my first suggestion is find new friends. But since you can't quite get away with that, and chances are the wife does have some redeeming characteristics, here's a thought. It goes back to hand-in-hand when I talk about wine lists being set on the table. Two things. Hopefully your server is paying attention when the wine list comes. Feel free to snatch it right out from under him. It is perfectly acceptable to say, Bob, I'd like to see the wine list tonight. Another good excuse to do it. Oh, Bob, my God, I've already had this great bottle of wine. I really think you're going to love it and try it. That's going to take a little homework on your part. Say you're going up to your local restaurant. Know their wine list before you walk in, know what you want to spend, and have three wines picked out. While you're sitting at the bar having a cocktail, flip through it. But step up. Just because Bob's going to dominate that list doesn't mean he knows more about wine than you do. He also shouldn't be presumptuous. He should always ask, would anyone mind if I'd like to make a wine recommendation? Does anyone have anything they want to have? Here's a better thought. If Bob were truly a wine expert, he would look around the table and say, what's everyone having for dinner? he would at least take that little bit of consulting and ask and see what's going to pair well and what's not going to pair well. Mary, I wish you very, very much good luck with these couples. Let me know how it goes. Call me back, 877-4CRUSH-1, or email me again. We're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we're going to have Alder Yarrow. He is the founder and editor of Vinography.com to give us yet another opinion on people who know too much about wine.
Visit WineCrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozarties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You belong to the gang, and you say you can't break away. But I'm here with my hands on my heart.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Well, right now we're going to see the opposite side. We've talked about how you know more about wine than you think you do. This little segment's going to be directed to the rest of you who think you know everything about wine but really don't. Right now we have Alder Yarrow. He is the founder and editor of Vinography.com. Alder, welcome to The Crush.
Thank you so much.
It is nice to have you. For our listeners, Vinography is a wine blog. You can find it online, and it's very, very interesting to see someone else who shares the same perspective oftentimes that we do. Alder, I have to admit, I was going through and I found the title, Knowing Something About Wine Doesn't Make You Special or Studly. I knew you were my man for today.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people think that, talking down to a sommelier is going to get them some hot and heavy later in the evening.
Yes, people seem to think that if they know everything or at least carry the percentage of knowing everything about wine that all of a sudden they are elitist and they are better than everybody else. Now, for those of us who actually live and die and make our living in the wine business, we find them entertaining, but I can see where the rest of people would find them intimidating. How'd you get on this topic and what made you write this?
Well, actually, a piece of research that was done in England recently that basically suggested that most men, in particular, when they responded to this survey that they were given, admitted to trying to appear to know much more about wine than they actually did, to the point of not being comfortable asking for recommendations from a sommelier and trying to bluff their way through, trying to appear like they knew more about wine than they did, mostly in the service to impress their dates, which I found really unfortunate and pitiful and to a certain extent a symptom of one of the larger problems that we have with wine, which is that people tend to associate it with being upper crust and fancy schmancy when really it's just something great to enjoy with food and friends.
Yes, I keep trying to understand why people think that it's elitist, that it's fancy, that it's something upper crust. Number one, the people that know me just roll their eyes when I think about that in association. And ultimately, since it comes from farmers to begin with, I'm not really sure where these two headed off on each other, but they did. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in America, you know, at first, the only people that really had wine in this country were the folks that could afford to import it from Europe at the beginning. When the country started, it was really difficult to grow grapes here. People tried, everybody tried that first arrived, but they weren't able to do it. And so really the only wine that was available was people rich enough to import it, which is why we have such a great beer and originally cider drinking culture in this country, as well as whiskey, because you could grow all of those things
True.
Here. And so those became the alcohol of choice, and then the elite got the wine from Europe, and that's the way it stayed for, 200 years.
Oh, I don't know. I imagine there was a lot of muscadine and scepernon drunk back then. Question for you. I've got to go back to this. I'm not going to turn this into a social or feminist agenda. Why do men think it's more appealing to know more about wine? Do they think women are that simpering that if they know about wine that everything's going to be fine and dandy?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, for every study that shows that, men try and do this to impress their dates, there are also some studies that show that women find men who know things about wine more attractive. So there are two sides to the coin. I wrote an article about that a couple of years ago, but there was, in fact, a study out there that said that that people find wine knowledge and food knowledge in particular sexy. So it may not all be smoke and mirrors. There may be something to it, but it doesn't make any sense to me personally.
No, ladies, put those ideas down. You can forget about that. Pick up your iPhone or pick up your Wine for Dummies. Learn it for yourself. So past that, it's an interesting, when you look at it, it's kind of a microcosm for everything we deal with in our society. It's the have and the have-nots. And if you don't have it, you're going to pretend you have it. Where do you see that going? Do you see this getting worse or getting better in our society right now?
I see it getting better because we're seeing the rise of the millennial generation, which is going to be the largest wine drinking generation in many, many decades here in the United States, potentially ever. And these are folks that are not growing up with the traditions and the sort of the affectations around wine, but are simply seeing it as a much more interesting alternative to beer. We're seeing a lot more wine drinking in college, and when people graduate, a lot more younger people turning to wine, partially because of the carbohydrate thing. We have Dr. Atkins to thank for that, partially, but also because it's a more interesting drink. And so I think this younger generation is much more experimental. They're much more open-minded, and I think that's going to eventually have an effect in the overall sort of orientation that people have to wine in this country. I'm very encouraged by it.
I am too. I'm going to horribly date myself, but when I matriculated through college, Sutterholme White Zinfandel, Behringer White Zinfandel, we felt we had arrived. But those were the least expensive wines that were really out there. Today, you walk into your local Mega Mart and you can find decent wines for $4.99 and under. Do you think that affects the economy and kids being able in the millennium to drink more and to have a better appreciation for it?
That certainly has got to play into it. I mean, when your choices are more than just Blue Nun and, Mad Dog 55, but when you can actually get Yellowtail or Charles Shaw or things that that are different, that taste different, that come from different countries than our, you know, real wine as opposed to fortified Planc, you know, you're liable to keep drinking it as opposed to suffering a hugely bad hangover and never going back.
All right, I'm beginning to guess, Alder, I have you, because you did say Mad Dog 55 instead of 50-50. But past that, I got to ask you, are you a wine expert or not? What do you quantify yourself as?
I consider myself to be a very passionate wine lover. An expert, I am not. There's a lot more I have to learn, and I think there always will be.
But see, you have just totally epitomized what I'm going for on this show. You have your own blog. It's called Vinography. For our listeners, please check it out. Vinography. I believe it's vinography.com, correct?
vinography.com.
But you put yourself out there to write about wine, and you have some interesting insights, and you have followers. So you know enough probably to be quantified as an expert, but yet you're willing to back away from the title and say, hey, listen, here's what I have. Let's learn this together. And that's what I'm teaching my listeners to look for. So
I think that's the only way to approach wine.
I love it. Well, Alder, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. Hopefully you and I can get together and have a conversation sometime. But other than that, we'd love to have you back to the Crush at some point.
Thank you so much.
All right. You go have a lovely day.
You too.
We're continuing on here at the Crush. Of course, we want to ask for your calls, your emails. Give us your thought, 877-4-CRUSH-1. But right now, we're going to take a small break. And when we return, I will help you define the reasons you know more about wine than you think you do.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible. And today, the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and this is Laura Lawson. Today we're talking about the have and have-nots, and I'm trying to convince all of you that you know more about wine than you think you do. With the help of Alder, with the help of Tim, it just points out, going back again, wine experts. Tim's a master of wine. Alder writes a blog. He knows about wine, but yet he's not an expert. All along, they're trying to teach you to realize this is what you like, this is what you need to be doing, and they're not lecturing you. They're not telling you what you're doing wrong. You need to keep that in mind when you're out and about. But if you can't keep that in mind, I'll round out my list of top 10 telltale signs you know more about wine than you think you do. Number 7, you know that when you order a glass of Cabernet, that you have shortened the grape name. Think about that one. Number 8, you know that French labels don't tell you varietals. You can pick up that Burgundy and Bordeaux all you want to and stare at it, but it's never going to tell you what's in the bottle. You're going to have to know that on your own. Number 9 and 10, I'm going to combine them because it hits two thoughts at once. I want you to repeat this. You're sitting in your car, you're sitting in your living room, just you're by yourself, you're fine. I know more about wine than most people because I listen to The Wine Crush. I know less about wine than some people, but I don't care. So those are the two important factions in the 9 and 10 of how you know more about wine than you think you do. Number 1, you're tuning into The Crush. You may just think I'm the most entertaining thing on the planet, but chances are you're trying to pick up a little bit about wine. You actually will acknowledge the fact that you don't know everything, ergo you should learn something. And number 2, you learn enough to know that you don't care what anyone else thinks. You're going to drink what you want to because you like to, not because someone tells you you have to. I went to wine dinner lately. I went incognito. No one knew who I was. I actually went as a date. Kept my head down and my mouth shut. Yes, I am capable of doing that. And as I sat there, I was sitting at a table and there was this older, very distinguished-looking gentleman. And he proceeded to look around all the women at the table and say, "Oh, well, you don't need to be drinking that white wine. It's just really off balance. It's really not any good. And there is no point to drink that. The reds are later and that's what you need to focus your energies on." I sat there and I thought, if you're the person who is guiding these women, if you're the person who's guiding these tables, no wonder wine at dinners are not well attended. Once again, drink what you like, not what you're told. So keep that in mind as you move forward this week. I promise you, you know more than you think you do. Well, as always here at The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.